is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Sternberg, who is in London. He writes political economics. He also observes life in London. And the first question about life in London is electricity rates and heating costs. The troubles in Ukraine connect with the shin bone and the knee bone and the neck bone back all the way to home heating bills spiking. Questions about natural gas supplies, questions about Nord Stream 2 on or off, who knows, and electricity rates. Joe, is that stabilized in some fashion in London in these last weeks?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, it's all getting worse, if anything, because, you know, we are the weather here, first off, is getting colder. So, you know, people are likely to be running the heating more intensively than they were a month or two ago. It's still very dark out, so you need to have light on. And then, you know, the energy prices keep going up for a variety of reasons. Partly it's to do with gas supplies and uncertainty about the situation in Ukraine. Partly this is the long hangover from bad environmental policies where Britain is overpaying for renewable fuels that are not very reliable at this time of year. So you have a problem with that. And then the other cost of living factor that's starting to come into focus is going to be tax policy, because the new tax year in Britain always starts in the first week of April. So we're only a few months away from that now. And that's going to bring with it a bunch of tax increases the households are starting to wrap their heads around, and that's causing a lot of cost of living concerns. So, yeah, this is a very uneasy time for a lot of households in the UK, especially those who have found themselves without a lot of padding in the family budget.
Life in London. This is the Financial Times reporting a four-day week, question mark. It writes, last Tuesday, it was the Landmark London, a swishy hotel in Marylebone, which said it was offering a four-day week, higher pay to its chefs. Day before that, a British division of Japan's Canon Camera said it was considering a four-day week pilot for its 140-odd staff. 2 weeks earlier, Canon's Japanese rival Panasonic revealed plans to offer its staff a four-day option to improve their work-life balance. It goes on. Adam Bank, Unilever, New Zealand. Joe, is there a trend that we don't know about in New York? A four-day week? We're not talking about work from home. We're not talking about remote or coordination. We're talking about, I guess, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then the weekend. Have you heard this, Joe?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of discussion about this potential move, at least in some industries, to a four-day work week. And it's so interesting because it illustrates how, I mean, there's a tendency to think about all of the unmitigated awful news coming out of the pandemic. But one emerging consequence is that it's starting a lot of discussions about the way that we work and the way that we think about productivity in the context of the work that we do. And do we need a one-size-fits-all formula? I mean, certainly in my line of work for a newspaper where we publish 6 days a week and have a 24/7 website, a four-day week might not be possible. But for other people, it might be. And in fact, it might be ideal to have that kind of arrangement. And I think that what the pandemic seems to have done with the working from home and all of the stuff that goes with it, and then the need of employers to attract workers in a tight labor market, is you know, the situation has activated a lot of really interesting thinking about what productivity will look like and what the ideal working arrangements will look like in a bunch of different industries. And the answer might be different for each industry or each company.
Of course, all of us have imaginations. And the moment you give us 4 day weeks, we're going to start thinking, well, you know, a 3 day week, that Monday thing. All right, now, Joe, one more detail here. I observe Parliament in these tense debates over Partygate or Ukraine. There was not, to my evidence, social distancing being enforced. It was sparsely attended. It wasn't Prime Minister's questions. And there were people, there were empty benches, but there were benches filled with people sitting near to each other. And I did not see every member of Parliament with a mask. Has the mask gone away in London?
Yeah, I mean, the mask mandate is starting to go away. In fact, I think that Thursday this week is formally going to be the end of it, because I think that there is a lot of talk in the UK about really moving into the learning to live with it phase. And so that's going to mean less testing. It's going to mean less masking. It's going to mean an end to the social distancing. It's going to mean a significant lifting of the remaining restrictions on travel and the testing around that. And hopefully that's going to be good for everyone. I mean, it'll be less trying for people who won't have to worry about whether its restrictions might be suddenly reimposed. And hopefully that is part of the process of allowing the economy to find its new normal at long last, free of the burden of these unpredictable policies that could swoop in.
Life in London in rumors of wartime, 54 days till spring, and when it brightens up again in the Northern Hemisphere. Joseph Sternberg, editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, Political Economics from London. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.